are Locked On Seahawks, your daily Seattle Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, 12s. This is Corbin Smith, your host for Locked On Seahawks. Joining me, as always, my co-host in crime, Rob Rang. Happy Wednesday to all of our listeners. We're now just 4 days away from opening kickoff of the 2021 season when the Seahawks take on the Colts at Lucas Oil Stadium. As we're going to be doing every Wednesday throughout the season, Rob and I are going to be breaking down six key matchups, three when the Seahawks are on offense, three when the Seahawks are on defense, on today's show. And we've got our first injury report. How exciting. Jam-packed episode coming your way. Let's get rolling. The NFL season is about to begin, and nobody covers it like the Locked On Podcast Network. August 30th through September 8th, Locked On's Ultimate Season Preview is taking you through every team and every division with the help of Odyssey's Ross Tucker and Jason LaConfora. Follow the Ultimate Season Preview 2021 feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts to tune in beginning August 30th. Now for your lead story here on Locked On Seahawks. One of the things that's most anticipated going into the first week of the season, when we're in the preseason, we don't get to see injury reports. That changes in week one. On Wednesday, every team is required to start handing out injury reports after practice. And as expected, the Seahawks and the Colts, for the most part, are pretty healthy going into this season opener at Lucas Oil Stadium. But the Colts have a few players that could be in question for Sunday, and the Seahawks had a few players that maybe were a bit surprising to be included as limited in Wednesday's practice, including rookie D. Eskridge, and it was with a toe designation. We know he missed most of training camp on the PUP list with a toe injury, so I don't think that's concerning, but it might be something that kind of gets fans alarmed a little bit going into this week one matchup.
Yeah, I think it does get fans a little bit nervous because obviously Seattle has had their injury issues with some of their top rookies in prior seasons. But at the same time, it was a limited practice by D. Eskridge. And the fact that it was the toe injury that we have seen him be limited earlier, I think is somewhat comforting because obviously Eskridge was active and made some pretty exciting plays in that final preseason game, Corbin. And it's very different when you look at who the Indianapolis Colts have as not participating in practice. Now, it should be stated there had been a lot of talk that maybe their quarterback, Carson Wentz, was not going to be able to participate in the opening season game, and yet he is very much on track to participate. However, his best blocker, Quentin Nelson, wound up not participating in practice today because both of a foot and back injury, as well as the cornerback for the Colts, who I think is actually the best of Indianapolis's corners to match up, especially against DK Metcalf in terms of his size, and that being the former Pro Bowl with the Minnesota Vikings, Xavier Rhodes. So both of them being completely out of Wednesday's practice, a key practice on the NFL schedule. As I mentioned before, Quentin Nelson with a foot and back injury situation, Xavier Rhodes with a calf injury. Both of those being completely out, Corbin, I think the Seahawks have to be kind of excited because two of the better players for the Colts, at least in my opinion, if they are not able to play in this game at all, then it's going to be that much easier to go into Indianapolis and be able to emerge with a victory.
And we'll have a chance, I'm sure, to talk about this a little later in the show, but the Colts offensive line is already pretty banged up. And Wentz and Nelson both had surgery on an injured foot in early August, and the timeline was 5 to 12 weeks. Obviously, they have expectations that Carson Wentz is going to be starting this game against the Seahawks, so he was on the short end of that timeline, and it sounds like there's still a chance Quentin Nelson could play. They are playing that by ear right now. I would think if he doesn't practice Thursday that makes it pretty hard to see him playing against the Seahawks, but tomorrow is going to be a critical day for a number of those injured players with Xavier Rhodes being included. It does feel like the Colts have more pressing issues on their injury report because every player that could have practiced for the Seahawks today was at least limited. That even included Duane Brown, who's got the dreaded load management label on his injury designation. Obviously, they just got Dwayne Brown back from his holding. He is going to be ready to go. I'd be surprised if he is ever a full participant in a practice the entire season. He, quite frankly, doesn't need those reps being in his 14th year. He has seen everything on offense. He's seen everything on defense. He's in phenomenal shape. So they're not concerned about that. The only other injury on there that maybe I was a little bit surprised about, now we've got Rashad Penny on there with a calf issue. And we know the running back has dealt with numerous injuries since Seattle drafted him in the first round back in 2018. A lot of people still expecting him to be the primary backup to Chris Carson, even with Alex Collins and DJ Dallas playing well in the preseason. So that might be another one to watch closely. But the fact that he did participate in limited fashion suggests he should be good to go. They should be at full strength, aside from the players they put on injured reserve yesterday in Colby Parkinson, Trey Brown, and Nigel Warrior. Everybody else should be ready to play. They should be at full strength in this game. The Colts can't necessarily say the same, and it's some pretty big names that have a chance to not be available for them. So those will be worth watching as we progress to the week and we get closer to Sunday.
They really will. As I just mentioned, I mean, the drop-off between Quentin Nelson and the young man who is currently listed by the Indianapolis Colts as being, you know, their backup at that position is Chris Reed. And Chris Reed is basically the definition of a journeyman, been with a couple of different NFL clubs already in his career, joined in the NFL as an undrafted free agent. So you're talking about truly one of the best interior offensive linemen in the entire NFL, to a guy who, again, is a quality player and a legitimate NFL player. He has proven that over his career. I believe it's now 6 years in the NFL. But at the same time, he is very much the journeyman, and so that would be a huge loss for the Colts, as we're going to break down a little bit more later today. Then the Colts' secondary depth is also a little bit concerning, so that might be something that Seattle is able to exploit. So again, to me, the big news here is the Colts are hurting a little bit entering into the season. The Seahawks, on the other hand, it feels like most of their best players certainly are ready to rock, and then you have guys like Dwayne Eskridge, who obviously is going to be expected to play a little bit of a complementary role. Rashad Penny, Ethan Posick, players who are good players, very important to Seattle's long-term future throughout the entire season. But at the same time, I think we all recognize that Eskridge, Posick, Rashad Penny, as you mentioned, again, all important players, but all also kind of backups. And so if Seattle enters this game as healthy as they can be, we'll see. They still, of course, have the Thursday practice to get through. Then obviously that's a very good sign for the Seahawks.
And as always, for both teams, you got to hope that no practice injuries happen leading up to Sunday's game. That is always your number one hope. Can we prepare for the upcoming game and avoid somebody suffering an injury in practice? We see it all the time around the league. So both teams will be hoping for a good, clean bill of health going into this season opener at Lucas Oil Stadium. When we come back in the second quarter, one of our favorite segments of the week, we're going to be dishing out our six matchups to watch. We're going to start when the Seahawks are on the offensive side of the football going against a very solid Indianapolis Colts defense. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. It's that time of year again, and all eyes are turning to a football. Gosh darn it. It's that time of year again, and all eyes are now turning to football as teams are back on the gridiron to start the football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL Survivor contest, now up on BetOnline. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 100% welcome bonus. And make sure to take advantage of their opening day super promo coming up on Thursday, September 9th, when the Buccaneers and the Cowboys face off. If you lose, your wager will be refunded up to $25 for new customers only when signing up and using the promo code NFL100. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports, from football, basketball, and boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait and take advantage of all the great offers available for the upcoming season. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Welcome back to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, Wednesday edition. This is your host, Corbin Smith, joined as always by Rob Rang, getting closer and closer to the season opener for the Seahawks, traveling to Indianapolis to face the Colts. We talked about this last on our last episode. The Colts were 11-5 last year, got a wild card in the AFC South, were red hot going into the playoffs. put the Buffalo Bills on the brink of being eliminated in the wild card round, came up just short. And this is a team that feels they have upgraded at quarterback, gotten younger at quarterback with Carson Wentz, have added a number of other pieces to their roster. We're going to start with our matchups here when the Seahawks are on the offensive side of the ball. And we got to start with offense because there's still a lot of questions about what we are going to see with Shane Waldron's offense being orchestrated by Russell Wilson. You and I have been able to see it on the practice field, but we didn't see Russell Wilson in any preseason games. We didn't see most of the starters in preseason games. So this is really our first chance against other competition to see what Shane Waldron's offense looks like. And I think the most pressing matchup that we've got to start off with is in the trenches, one of the best defensive linemen in the league. In fact, I'm going to go as far as saying if Aaron Donald didn't exist, I think DeForest Buckner is the best all-around interior defensive lineman in the NFL. He was an all-pro selection his first year in Indianapolis last year. He's got great length. He plays with really good leverage for his size, just a physical football player, very athletic, can defend the run and the pass. Having him go up against Seattle's two guards, Gabe Jackson and Damian Lewis, and I think we've also got to include, and this is why to me, this is such a big matchup for this upcoming game, Kyle Fuller is likely going to be the starter at center. He's got one regular season start under his belt, underwhelmed in their preseason games. If he gets matched up against DeForest Buckner in this game, that could be a huge area of concern for Seattle's offense.
Huge area of concern is there's no question about it. And I absolutely agree with you, Corbin. I think that DeForest Buckner, even though he was ranked the 27th overall best player in the NFL this year, when the NFL.com crew basically started ranking players. And of course that is, very much built off of what other NFL players are saying, 27th ranked player overall. I think that DeForest Buckner certainly is getting his respect from the rest of the NFL. And what's incredible about that, Corbin, is the fact that DeForest Buckner played last year, earned all-pro honors last year, his first season in Indianapolis since being traded away from the San Francisco 49ers, played all of last season with a busted right ring finger. And as he said in a press conference today, I mean, your hands are your weapons as a defensive lineman. They certainly are with DeForest Buckner. He has, almost 11 and a half inch hands. Some of the biggest hands that's ever been measured at the NFL Combine. I mean, it's a guy that has hands almost like Shaquille O'Neal, with the way that he is able to basically just palm different, would-be blockers and be able to rip them and shed them. And that obviously is a huge concern, considering the fact that Seattle has a great deal of transition on that interior offensive line. I am a big fan of Damian Lewis. I'm a big fan of Gabe Jackson. I'm a bigger fan of Kyle Fuller and the improvement that he's shown at the center position over the training camp in the preseason than a lot of people seem to be. But DeForest Buckner is a different level of player. As you just mentioned, Aaron Donald might just be the most dominant player in all of the NFL, regardless of position. But DeForest Buckner is a massive and very powerful man that can just do absolute wreak havoc in the interior of the offensive line. So that needs to be the number one priority for Seattle when they're going up offensively against the Colts defense, is somehow slowing down the player I like to call Defoe. Some of us might remember a character from the movie Friday, Debo, and the actor who played that, unfortunately has passed away, but just his character is kind of iconic. Well, Defoe is very similar to Debo in that he is physical and he is intimidating, and he certainly can be that. The last game that DeForest Buckner played against the Seahawks was when he was with the San Francisco 49ers. He had a sack and a tackle for loss in that game. I think that he can have at least that in this game. So you're talking about a player who can absolutely ruin your season in a snap. DeForest Buckner can be that. So, yes, it is absolutely critical that Seattle be able to slow DeForest Buckner as much as possible.
And if I'm the Colts, I'm trying to find ways that I can isolate him on Kyle Fuller. That is part of my game plan. I'm working him over at nose tackle. He's got the size to be able to do it. I'm trying to find ways to force the Seahawks to double up with one of their guards. And then you can create blitzing opportunities for your linebackers. And I think that leads us to another very interesting positional matchup in this game, because you're looking at strength versus strength in this instance. I think Chris Carson, whoever the backup running back in this game is going to be, going up against Bobby Okereke and Darius Leonard, the all-pro linebacker for the Colts, two very good linebackers that they've got in the middle. They're outstanding run defenders. They're great tacklers, great instincts, very athletic players. This really is a strength-on-strength matchup because, to me, you look at the Colts last year, top five run defense in the NFL, and Pete Carroll was talking about that today, just how solid that front four is, that front seven, and their ability to maintain their gap integrity, their ability to handle their responsibilities. And that really makes them a difficult team to run the football against. But when you talk about some of the pass rushers like DeForest Buckner, the Colts have, it feels like, especially on the road, Seattle is going to have to be able to get some traction with its ground game. And I think that revolves around number 32. Can Chris Carson come out and have a strong start to the season? And you want to always see those great running backs going against elite linebackers. You are going to see that, especially when Chris Carson and Darius Leonard are going up against each other. That is a matchup that I'm very enticed by going into this football game that I think could have a lot of bearing on how the final outcome plays out. Because if the Seahawks can run the ball well and create more opportunities for play action for Russell Wilson and the rest of the offense, I really think that can unlock a lot of things in Shane Waldron's playbook in the opener.
Oh, no question about it. I mean, you know, of course, that's kind of the way that most football games go, is that any team that can kind of control, the time of possession and control basically the momentum of the game with their running attack, that certainly is critical. But I think especially in this game, you have two teams in the Seahawks and the Indianapolis Colts who very much want to, basically just impose their will on the defense with their running game. So I love this individual matchup. As you said, it is strength versus strength, but they're very different styles. You know, one of the reasons why Chris Carson wound up falling all the way into the seventh round is the fact that he does not have that elite straight line speed. Whereas with the two Indianapolis Colts linebackers that you just mentioned, Bobby Okereke as well as Darius Leonard, speed is their game. They will absolutely beat Chris Carson to the edge if that is the kind of play calling that Shane Waldron shows. And I wanted to mention Shane Waldron because, of course, this is his debut in the regular season as Seattle's play caller. So it's going to be critical to see how Seattle is able to sprinkle in the run. Are they going to use the run to set up the pass? Is it going to be the opposite? It's going to be fascinating to kind of see how that works out. But again, with Darius Leonard and Bobby Okereke, these are two run and chase linebackers. They are not quite as big and physical at the point of attack. Chris Carson might just be the most physical running back in the NFL. I think that he has an opportunity here. And again, Seattle's guards and centers as well, creeping up to the second level, might be able to get to those linebackers, be able to put them on their backside, create some big running lanes. But if Seattle tries to run outside on these guys can absolutely run. Bobby Okereke came from Stanford. Usually Stanford are the big kind of physical downhill guys. Okereke is a different guy. We haven't seen players like this, linebackers from Stanford like this, who can absolutely turn and run the way he can. So I'm angry.
Sideline to sideline first.
I'm sorry. I think it's an important matchup to highlight, but Seattle has to run downhill and hit these guys. It's going to be fascinating to see if they're able to be successful in doing so.
Yeah, as I mentioned, it's sideline to sideline burst, and both of the Colts middle linebackers are just oozing with that ability. So you're going to be really hard-pressed to be able to run the football well outside. And that's not to say you can't try that at all. You got to be able to mix things up, but that is definitely a strength for the Colts defense at the second level, the ability of those guys to just fly around the field, particularly sideline to sideline. And so that is going to be a fun matchup to watch. Now, it's interesting, these first two matches we looked at, the first one really favors DeForest Buckner, especially when he goes up against Kyle Fuller in the middle. The second one was truly strength on strength, Chris Carson going against the stud linebackers for the Colts. This is a matchup that I feel like Seattle can really exploit, and that's their receivers, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, and D. Eskridge, against the Colts secondary. And I'm going to highlight the cornerbacks in particular, because if somehow Xavier Rhodes cannot play in this game, he did not practice today, as we talked about in the first quarter. If he is inactive, the replacement for him is going to be TJ Carey, who is a veteran at this point that I think has played for about half of the NFL. And he's been unable to secure a long-term job. He's been cut several times. Not a bad football player necessarily, as a reserve, can play well on special teams, but there is no way if TJ Carey's going up against Tyler Lockett or somehow DK Metcalf there is no way that Russell Wilson is not back in the pocket just licking his lips about the possibility. And Rocky Sin at the other cornerback spot is a solid young player, but he's been very inconsistent, and there have been some issues giving up the big play. You are going against a couple of receivers, a trio of receivers, that big play is their middle name. And so I think those downfield opportunities can be there for Russell Wilson, especially if the offensive line is able to hold up at the point of attack, prevent a player like DeForest Buckner from single-handedly wreaking havoc. The Colts lost some pass rushers off last year's team. We talked about that yesterday. Justin Houston now gone. They also lost Autry going to the Titans. Two of their top three sack producers are no longer on the roster. If Russell Wilson's got time in the pocket and they're going against the secondary minus Xavier Rhodes with the young unproven safeties that the Colts have as well, this feels like a game where there should be some shot plays to be had, and that could really turn the tide in the Seahawks' favor.
It absolutely could. As we talked about so many times, and anybody who watches the Seahawks knows that Russell Wilson is just as good of a deep ball thrower as there is. And obviously with the receiver talent the Seahawks have, you know, especially with DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, really intrigued by what D. Eskridge might be able to offer this offense as well at the wide receiver position. Again, you have a couple of guys who can just flat out fly, and the Colts do not have the cornerbacks who can match up speed for speed, size for size with Seattle, especially against DK Metcalf. So this could be a game in which a guy like DK Metcalf could absolutely explode. And I love that you mentioned Xavier Rhodes. We talked about before, the fact that he missed Wednesday's practice is significant. It is such a drop off between he, at least in my opinion, between he and TJ Carey, as well as Rocky Sin. Those two players can run, however, a little bit better than Xavier Rhodes can at this stage in his career. There's a reason why he's no longer with the Minnesota Vikings, but he is big and physical. So the matchup against especially Metcalf would be a fascinating one. But at the same time, I think that this really sets up if, as you said, a very important point, cannot be overstated, if Seattle gets the pass protection, then I do think that Russell Wilson is going to have opportunities to attack this defense deep. And then you mentioned the cornerbacks, the safeties. The Colts only have three safeties, which shocked me. Three safeties on their active roster. They have a couple of other veterans on their practice squad. Sean Davis, a former second-round pick by the Pittsburgh Steelers. Another guy named Sean Davis, actually his first name spelled a little bit differently, S-H-A-W-N. He's a rookie from the University of Florida, but he actually plays like S-E-A. And Sean Davis, that was previously with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Both are big physical guys, Corbin. They have good straight line speed in testing. They don't necessarily play that fast. So I would agree with you. I think this is a pass secondary that Seattle should be able to exploit. But again, number one thing is that Russell Wilson has to show his awareness in Shane Waldron's offense, and Seattle's pass protection has to be on point.
When we come back in the third quarter, we're going to switch gears. We're going to look at the Colts when they're on offense going up against Seattle's defense at Lucas Oil Stadium. You're listening to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Did you know that Built Bar has 9 delicious flavors, plus the occasional limited time flavor? When you talk to a Built Bar fan like myself, we're definitely passionate about our favorite flavors. If you don't know some of the flavors that are out there, you're missing out. Cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, my personal favorite, peanut butter brownie. I'll eat an entire box in one sitting, not afraid to admit it. There's something for everyone. If you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mixed box where you'll get 2 of each of the 9 flavors. And not only are they the best tasting protein bars on the market, they're healthy too. Most of the flavors have 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, just 4 grams of sugar, only 4 grams net carbs. And there are a few other flavors that have 18 grams of protein with just 180 calories and 5 grams of sugar. You've got 9 amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your first order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com.
Football season is back. Let's make the most of it with a better way to create your custom pool at runyourpool.com, the premier sports pool hosting service. Run Your Pool makes it ridiculously easy to run a football pool with friends, family, or office mates. They offer dozens of formats, including Survivor, Pick'em, Squares, Margin, Confidence Pools, 33 and more. Run your pools, host formats for NFL and college football with one-week games, full season, playoffs, or the Super Bowl. Unlike other fantasy sports platforms, Run Your Pool has options and settings to make it your own. You can even brand your own pool for your local business, bar, or restaurant. Reconnect with friends and join nearly 2 million fans to make every game action-packed this season. Check them out today and get $10 off at runyourpool.com/lockedon or use our promo code LOCKEDON at checkout. Anywhere, everywhere in the world, Run Your Pool helps friends and helps and colleagues compete. The NFL season starts September 9th. Start today at runyourpool.com/lockedon and have your pool up and running in minutes. Runyourpool.com/lockedon.
Welcome back to the Locked On Seahawks podcast. I'm your host, Corbin Smith. Joining me for our Wednesday episode, my co-host in crime, Rob Rang, continuing to break down the key matchups that matter in this upcoming week one battle between the Colts and the Seahawks. We're now going to switch gears. Last quarter, we were looking at the Seahawks when they are on offense going up against a feisty Colts defense. Now we're going to be looking at the Colts on offense going up against Jamal Adams and Seattle's defense. As far as key matchups are concerned, I think the first one that really matters when we're looking at this game, I think we need to talk about the running backs going against the linebackers. We already looked at that from Seattle's perspective, but we know that the Seahawks on defense have perennial All-Pro Bobby Wagner. They have a rising star in Jordan Brooks. On the other side, the Colts have a four-pack of running backs that all can hurt you in different ways, led by Jonathan Taylor. They still have Marlon Mack on the roster. They have Hines, who's a pass-catching back. They have a number of players that can hurt you on their offense. And so this is going to be a really important game for the linebackers to play their A game. Bobby Wagner needs to play like the All-Pro that he is. Jordan Brooks needs to show that the improvements he made in the preseason are going to carry over into the regular season, that he's going to be that tackling machine that can fly sideline to sideline. They're going to need to do that because all of these running backs can beat you with the football in their hands as ball carriers in the run game. They can also hurt you as receivers out of the backfield. Bobby Wagner mentioned it today. Most of the time when the Colts are passing the football, the running backs are not in to pass protect. They are out running routes, and so linebackers are going to have to be ready to defend the running backs, and if they're not able to do that, that could be a major problem in this football game.
It absolutely could be a major problem. Jonathan Taylor is legit. I mean, this kid is a young superstar in the NFL, in my opinion. There's a reason why I was kind of trying to pound the table a year ago for the Seahawks to draft Jonathan Taylor. Just because I see a guy who is every bit the dominant player in the NFL that he was in college when he ran for, 2,000 plus yards for the University of Wisconsin, Corbin. So I think that you were right to mention the fact that the Colts have such a dynamic running back depth chart. But I really do feel the same way I felt about DeForest Buckner on the defensive side of the ball, then the offensive side of the ball. The Seahawks really, there has one player that they have to stop or have to at least slow down, and that being Jonathan Taylor. Now, I have a great deal of respect for some of the receiving talent, the quarterback talent that the Indianapolis Colts have. But again, Taylor, to me, is where this game plan starts and finishes, essentially, for the Seahawks. I am very concerned about Nyheim Hines, especially in terms of his ability as a receiver out of the backfield as well. And I think that it's going to be absolutely critical for Seattle's linebackers. You mentioned Wagner as well as Brooks to be able to kind of flatten out and get out to those edges and to be able to slow down the passing game. But again, most critically, being able to slow down the Indianapolis Colts' just downhill running game. Now, a huge part of that, besides the backs, of course, is who's going to be blocking for the Colts. As we talked about earlier, Quentin Nelson, their absolute All-Pro, perhaps a future Hall of Famer if he continues his current career trajectory at the left guard position. If the Colts don't have Big Q, Quentin Nelson, the left guard position, that completely changes things for them. They have a terrific center in Ryan Kelly. Their right guard is actually former Seahawk Mark Glowinski, who's a good football player, by the way. But at the same time, without Big Quentin Nelson, this is a different squad. So to me, it's going to be fascinating to see the way that the Seahawks are able to kind of match up there. I like any game in which the Seahawks have to be more physical. I really believe that this is a good physical defense, but at the same time, the Colts are going to hit them in the mouth, so they're going to have to match up and and match up the intensity and physicality to be able to emerge from Lucas Oil Stadium and victorious.
They're going to have to be able to limit yards after contact, because that is going to be key for the Colts. If they are able to pick up chunks of yardage after contact regularly in this game, it is going to quickly wear down Seattle's front, especially with the depth concerns they have with their defensive tackle position. So I think that that is critical in this football game. A matchup that I think could really work in Seattle's favor, depending on who's in the lineup. We talked about this some yesterday. Phillip Rivers obviously retired, but I don't know that he was the biggest retirement on offense for the Colts. They also lost 10-year starting left tackle Anthony Costanzo. He also walked away and hung up his cleats, and they decided to replace him with Eric Fisher. Now, former number one overall pick for the Chiefs, is a really good player when he's healthy, but he's coming off an Achilles injury. He's been cleared to practice, but he was on the COVID list for the last week and a half. So there's a lot of uncertainty whether he's going to be able to play in this game. Sam Teviu, they signed in free agency, is on injured reserve now. So you could realistically see Matt Pryor, the journeyman tackle, out there at left tackle. That would be a huge advantage for Carlos Dunlap, LJ Collier, all the Seahawks defensive ends that are going to be working off the edge. If you have Pryor in the lineup instead of a player like Eric Fisher, who, like I said, has been a very solid starter when he's been healthy, they just don't know if they are going to have him out there. And on the other side, Braden Smith has turned into a solid right tackle, but he has had his inconsistency issues with pass protection, and he's dealt with a few injuries during training camp. So it feels like off the edge, the Seahawks, with the depth they've amassed at the defensive end position, as well as having Darrell Taylor, Sam linebacker, that this could be an area that they can exploit on defense. If they're able to turn up the heat on Carson Wentz, we've seen him do it when Wentz was playing in Philadelphia, and the results swung wildly into Seattle's favor. It feels like that could happen again in this football game, especially if Quentin Nelson's not playing either. That's an offensive line that suddenly goes from being one of the best in the NFL to that being a major weakness for this football team, given the players that would be out of the lineup.
Yeah, excellent points. I think that if the Colts have Eric Fisher, as you mentioned, former number one overall pick, I remember watching him at the Senior Bowl out of Central Michigan, didn't think that this young man would be able to play as well as he did and earn that spot. He absolutely did. But at the same time, coming off the Achilles, coming off of the COVID scare, and so his inability to practice and really get acclimated to this offense, I think are all factors. You know, of course, Dwayne Brown has not been playing left tackle position for the Seahawks throughout training camp. Essentially, it's the exact same situation with Eric Fisher. And Dwayne Brown has the advantage of being with Seattle in previous season. Eric Fisher doesn't have that. And of course, the quarterback, Carson Wentz, doesn't have that. As we talked about yesterday, the Colts were actually pretty successful in protecting a pretty slow-footed quarterback in Phillip Rivers a year ago. But while Phillip Rivers didn't have the foot speed of some of today's quarterbacks, he was so savvy that he was able typically to get the ball out of his hands. And that has been one of the things that's been a little bit of a bugaboo for Carson Wentz. So I would agree with you. I think that it's, again, critical for Seattle to get ahead of the sticks, get ahead of the Indianapolis Colts, and force them to try and pass their way back into this game. If that is the case, then I do think that Seattle's pass rush could absolutely go off. We've talked about some of the Seattle's intriguing pass rushers throughout the entire training camp, Corbin. We've seen the flashes from some of Seattle's young guys. I'm looking at you, Carlos Dunlap. What do you got against an offensive tackle crew that may not be quite what the Colts would like it to be? That might be an opportunity for Carlos Dunlap, maybe Jamal Adams, to be able to get some pressure off the edge and be able to eat up some sacks against a Carson Wentz, a guy that when he starts to get hit, he's not the same quarterback.
Let's go to the outside now. Our listeners had to know that this was coming, given all the talk that we've had about the cornerback position, the upheaval, the turnover dating back to March and the last couple of weeks with a number of new players coming in. DJ Reed and Trey Flowers expected to be the starters at cornerback. I'm very intrigued by Flowers against Michael Pittman, second-year receiver out of USC. He battled some injury issues as a rookie, but certainly a playmaker, can win down the field, create after the catch. So him going against Flowers in a matchup that I've identified, I think DJ Reed going up against maybe Paris Campbell. We don't know if he's going to play in this game, dealing with an Achilles injury, was limited in practice on Wednesday. We don't know if he's going to play, but the Colts have several capable receivers, even without T.Y. Hilton. And I also want to include in this mix Mo Alie-Cox, who is the number two tight end in the Colts depth chart, but he's very athletic, former basketball player from VCU that had 30-plus receptions last year, has really turned into a fine NFL tight end. The athleticism, the size, the soft hands that he brings to the table, you could see him going up against Marquise Blair in the slot quite a bit in this football game, and that is a matchup that the football purist to me gets really excited about. A super physical, hard-hitting safety against a basketball player turned tight end hybrid that kind of is like a mutant out there that's still learning the game and has made a lot of plays for the Colts over the last year or so. So that is a matchup that I think could swing either way. A number of matchups on the outside. Carson Wentz already has more weapons than he had in Philadelphia the last couple of years. If he gets time to throw, he's got some receivers on the outside against an untested cornerback group. Could make things interesting for the Seahawks in this one.
It could. And you think about what Carson Wentz did in Philadelphia, where he helped make Zach Ertz into a Pro Bowler. And I don't mean any disrespect to Zach Ertz. He's probably a Pro Bowler on his own. But certainly Carson Wentz would pepper his tight end. So I think the Mo Alie-Cox is a player that we have to mention, especially considering how often that Seattle is likely to be saying Jamal Adams off the edge. And that there is a possibility that the tight end is going to be able to run down the seams. Of course, one of the linebackers that previously Seattle was able to kind of put back in coverage, KJ Wright, is now playing the Las Vegas Raiders. So I think the tight end is a position that Seattle has to be concerned about. But you hit the matchup that I'm most intrigued by just because of the way that they play. You talked about before, it was kind of strength versus strength with Seattle's running game going up against Indianapolis Colts' linebacker core. With Trey Flowers and Michael Pittman, the former player from USC, go up against each other. Neither of these two players have the elite straight line speed that a lot of NFL teams are looking for, but they are physical. They will compete for the ball. And so I think that, the football guy, the NFL scout kind of guy in me just wants to see these two guys duke it out. I want to see Carson Wentz throw the ball and see if Trey Flowers is going to turn his head and make a play on the ball, because Michael Pittman absolutely will. He is a big physical receiver. He catches the ball at its highest point. And so it's going to be an intriguing matchup. Now, I would have said a guy that I've been talking about since his days at Florida International, as you mentioned, the guy T.Y. Hilton is an absolute playmaker. And the fact that he is not likely to be available for the Colts in this game is critical, because he has the straight line speed to change things for the Colts. Paris Campbell, former Ohio State wide receiver, also has that ability. But with both of them trending towards not likely to be available, the Colts may have to focus on Pittman. And if that's the case, he does not have that elite straight line speed. And the Seahawks, if they tackle well, if they get pressure on Carson Wentz, should be able to slow down Indianapolis' passing attack.
Betting on the NFL doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get podcasts. You can follow me on Twitter at Corbin Smith NFL. You can follow Rob at Rob Rang. Make sure to check out Locked On Seahawks on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and the all-new Odyssey app. That's AUDACY. Coming up on Thursday, we'll have our first Locked On podcast crossover special of the year. I'll be joining Locked On Colts to break down the upcoming season opener between the Colts and the Seahawks. You won't want to miss it. Thanks for listening in. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. Go Hawks.